You're listening to In Demand.
It's In Demand, and tonight we are joined by two of in-flight safety. Welcome to the show, Dan and John. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well.
We are good.
Excellent.
Very well.
Now, obviously, you're new to the show. You're new to a lot of people here in England. So we'll obviously have to find out a bit more about you. But first of all, just want to say thank you for bringing the model homes single into our lives, because we love it.
We aim to please.
Thanks.
We really do.
Yeah.
We had it as our chosen one. We got a really nice response in it, actually.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yeah, good.
The audience loved it. So tell us a bit about yourselves. You're from Canada.
Sounds like a dating show right now.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
Well,
what's your name and where do you come from?
I love long walks on the beach and I enjoy dogs and cats. No, we're from Eastern Canada and Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Is where we're from. It's nestled along the Atlantic Ocean. I don't know. We've been a band in Canada for about 6-7 years. So,
okay.
This is our first real foray into England and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Okay. So, of course, you know, the likes of Michael Bublé from Canada, Justin Bieber.
The Boobs, the Biebs.
Terrence and Phillips.
Yeah.
Terrence and Phillips.
They've all made their individual stamp
right.
on the
yeah.
world. With Terrence and Phillips, obviously quite uncouth, but funny. How are you going to make your stamp in the music world?
Daniel?
Oh, good. Give me
the easy
one.
Question.
Yeah. basically, we're just running around this country being silly.
Excellent.
Today, which is good. Talking into microphones to many people and just being ridiculous humans.
And you've got good weather today as well.
It's beautiful.
Kind of come
it's
with
beautiful
you.
Here.
That's, we've been told that.
Yeah, no, but we're just obviously trying to. We like to think that we have we've got a big rock show with us, and we're hoping to pound our stamp into the faces of music listeners.
Okay.
We want to.
We work hard.
Shove
we know we're not
going to
win. We know we're not going to win a competition to be a rock star.
Okay, so how long are you here in the UK for this time around?
We're here for another 3-4 days, and then we're back in May for a bunch of more shows.
Ah,
the Great Escape Festival and Liverpool Sound City.
Okay. Yeah. Have you been confirmed for any other festivals yet?
No, I mean, this is all... Yeah, I think that's sort of
Do you know
all we
any?
Know about.
Do you know any
there's
that want to confirm
us? There's quite
a few
in the UK. Which ones do you want to do? I mean,
I don't know.
Glastonbury, there's V, Isle of Wight.
If you hook it up, we'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah.
Have you ever been to a British festival as a punter?
No.
Okay.
Just heard, you know, read about them over the years and heard lots of great stuff about them.
You should do that.
Yeah, we would like to.
Would you
we just show up
tent?
With our guitars?
Yeah, and a tent.
We're here.
Tent.
We're ready.
And some
love
beer.
The tent.
Set up our own festival.
Yeah, like a mini halogen gas
you got
pop
it.
So you can cook your baked beans
yeah.
and stuff on there.
Yeah. Love to.
In terms of being here in the UK, what is this your first time here? Have you been before?
This is our. We did some shows in Ireland and in Northern Ireland, so technically we were in the UK. But this is our England. First time really doing any touring here and playing
Have you
shows.
Had any time to sort of look around, do any touristy things?
From the van, you
the
look
van
around.
Got a lovely view.
Beautiful, beautiful countryside. No, we just had a wonderful drive here from London. And,
yeah, it was really, I didn't expect the rolling hills. I thought it was more flat. So.
Yeah, you stopped at the country pubs.
Yeah, no, we haven't. No, we don't have time.
We don't have time. We got to get just, here.
You've got to make time in the schedule, Cara.
Yeah, these girls are dragging us around. And it's chop, chop.
Okay.
No, but next. you don't have a whole lot of time to sightsee, but you make a special effort. You get up early one morning to go and see something.
I think we were in Germany before this, and we made a point to get up at like 8 a.m., which is basically insane when you're doing shows, to go see Berlin, and we did that, and that was really cool. But I think after that, we were pretty much like, well, that was great.
Yeah.
I'm tired now.
All I did when I went to Berlin was travel by coach for the day. So literally, just went through on coach and just saw some lovely things going, I want to stop there, but you can't.
Yeah. That's what we do. Yeah, we drive past things, go, look.
Yeah.
Oh, it's gone.
Yeah. I saw Stonehenge.
Yeah.
I think we saw like 100 square yards of Munich, and we stayed in that, and then we left.
Yeah.
So. And it was Sunday night.
Yeah, there was one of those cities where I saw the inside of the venue, and we were even staying above the venue.
so I saw
that building, and that was all.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Have you ever had that moment of waking up and not knowing where you are? Because quite a lot of artists say
almost every day.
Oh, really?
Yesterday. Yeah. Whoa, where am I? Oh, yeah, London.
And sometimes, I think, I don't know if I was talking to one of you girls about it, but I've been on stage and been like, what city am I in right now? Like, you just don't know where you are sometimes.
I think Britney made a mistake once of being, I don't know, somewhere like Germany and saying, hey, London! Yeah. It was hilarious. I think it's on YouTube somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bad.
Hello, Cleveland.
I mean, I just need to like think about it for
you
a
always
minute.
Say Cleveland, though.
I would never say it into a microphone.
Yeah, always Cleveland.
Just always say Cleveland.
Yeah, if you're in doubt. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Well, My Chemical Romance, we went on a stage, went backstage with them, mm-hmm. and they actually have the name of the city written on a bit of paper in the middle of the stage by the drum kit. So no one can see it in the audience, but obviously they can sort of walk past and go, check, yep, it's right city.
That, if we ever get to that point where we don't know where we are, I think we have to wrap it up. So sort of write the lyrics down like Ozzy Osbourne has his teleprompter for his lyrics. And
I think he needs everything done for him. That's why he's got Sharon.
That's what
hopefully we don't get to that point.
No, got to look after yourselves, unlike
him.
Now, something we do with all our new artists is we find out a bit about you by doing your favourite things.
Okay.
These are really stupid questions. Good. I'm not going to lie. But they're good fun.
I can
be ready for stupid answers.
So the first question is, what's your favourite guilty pleasure song?
I don't have any guilty pleasures.
You have to.
I love them all.
Oh, you love them all. Maybe one that others might consider a bit embarrassing to
maybe
love.
Maybe you could even just say a few of the that you've played in the room today.
Wilson Phillips.
Hold on.
That was today. Yeah. Rick Astley. I'm not guilty though. I love them
That's
all.
That's good. I love that.
He just has no shame.
Dan
has some probably guilty.
Go on. What have you got?
Well, I don't know. That's so hard. I mean, like Journey. Obviously, being Canadian. Don't Stop Believing. Mm. But Journey is. But again, that's become cool again. Like you go to these indie dance nights
DJs, isn't it?
That's right.
What's Glee?
You've never watched Glee?
I don't have a television.
Oh my God. That's why it's become big and cool again.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No,
it's a horrible news.
Okay, I scrap.
No, Journey. Journey disallowed.
Cut it out. No, I'll have to change it. What songs aren't on Glee? Any of those?
Yeah, there's loads of songs that aren't on Glee. Yeah. There's a lot that obviously haven't
Is it covered. That show with where people are singing?
Yeah. And one of them is really annoying.
Just at the show where people sing.
Yeah. I don't.
It's a good show. It's funny.
Yeah, sure.
I'll never know.
I don't have a TV.
Never know.
So you don't have any other guilty pleasure song? You must have.
Oh, one. I must. They're just not coming to my brain.
Okay. Well, we'll sit with Wilson Phillips.
Baby Bones.
It's pretty girly for a bunch of boys to be singing.
I don't know if anyone knows who Raffi is.
No, I don't.
Hold on for one more day.
Your next favourite thing. What's your favourite cheese? Now this is a very important question to me.
So
I'm
easy for
fiend.
Me. So easy.
No, you go ahead.
Applewood smoked cheddar.
Amazing! Yeah, and you get it rolled up sometimes.
But it's like $1 million for like a little tiny bit.
It's amazing. So. Good cheese.
Well, recently it's actually been a goat brie.
Oh.
Yeah.
A goat brie,
yeah. So it's got like that goat... that.
The goat in
the traditional goat flavor. No.
You bite into it and it just goes.
I think it's goat's milk flavor though. It's not actually goat in there, is there?
Oh, there's tons of goat.
It's goat produce.
Yeah. But also probably a tie would be like halloum cheese.
A halloumi.
Or halloumi. Mm. I don't know if it's halloumi.
Don't know what you guys are talking about, but it sounds good.
Cheese.
And you fry that stuff up and I could probably live on that as well.
A bit of pita bread and some salad.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, it's good. Okay, yes, favorite takeaway food now.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so easy for me. It's Canadian. It's poutine. It's like gravy. Well, chips, gravy, and cheese curds. Amazing.
Cheese curds.
Can't find it in Europe.
Are we talking chips as in like
fries?
Your chips, French fries from
that's
my
land. I'm glad you said chips. That's
I'm trying to adapt. You know, in the right get the right lingo for the territory. Yeah, poutine. You got to look it up. If you go to Canada, it's amazing.
Okay, I'll probably like it because it has cheese.
It's so
in it.
Salty and so good.
Oh, it sounds
good. Well, I can't eat wheat, so it's harder for me, you know, so I can't do pizza, I can't do pizza. So, but usually it's like a shawarma platter.
What's one of those?
That's good.
Yeah.
He's one of those?
I'm one
What's
of those.
A shawarma?
Shawarma. It's Lebanese, you know, Lebanese chicken with like hummus and, you know, salad and rice.
Some olives.
Or fries. Yeah, olives. Olives in the Greek salad and olives.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Favorite alcoholic cocktail?
Well, cocktail, White Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creamy.
Cocktail means like,
just
you know,
candy.
Like the shot plus some other stuff.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm a gin and tonic kind of guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not
extra
strictly
lime.
A cocktail, but.
But I don't know.
See,
I don't even know what
drink.
That is. Yeah, I don't know what a cocktail is.
Cocktail like a mojito or
a mojito.
Something.
There you go. There's my answer.
That one wins every time.
Mint. Yeah.
And obviously, as you are indeed Canadian, your favorite Celine Dion song. Sorry.
Okay.
I was going to sing one, but I think I was about to sing a Tina Turner song. Yeah. I don't even know.
Beauty and the Beast featuring Luther Vandross.
I'll go with the Titanic theme.
Don't know.
My Heart Will Go On.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Have you got any of her albums in your collection?
Oh, absolutely.
The Color of My Love is a great album.
We celebrate the entire collection.
No, I don't.
Color of My Love.
I don't know that.
It's a great title.
I prefer Angela Lansbury's version of Beauty and the Beast anyway. So.
It's very nice.
But that not is a Celine good song, fan. Though. I used to literally, song, when sure. I used to watch that as a kid, I would watch the credits roll so I could hear the full song.
I can totally understand that.
Yeah.
The need to do that.
Exactly.
Aren't there clips of them performing it in the
There are clips of them performing it, but you need the whole. Yeah, I think there is. I think they're recording it in a studio or something. Yeah.
Weird.
Oh my God, you've just reminded me of that.
Yeah. With her creepy old manager looking on.
Yeah, exactly.
Slash husband, I suppose.
Slash husband, yes.
Yeah, Renee, whatever his name is.
Renee something,
Something or other.
Something or
Renee Zellweger.
It's actually her.
Yeah.
We're not sure.
Oh, it's getting really abstract right now. We got to move on, I think.
So we have found out a lot about you, your favorite stuff, and that you're from Canada and that you make great music. So without further ado, will you introduce Model Homes for me, please?
Yeah, for sure. This is one of the first songs we wrote for the last record. And we wrote it very quickly, and Dan and I played guitar one day after listening to a bunch of songs. We're like, we like all these five songs. Let's write a song like this. And we just were kind of forcing it that day. But this song actually came out and very quickly, which is rare for us. And it has done lots of wonderful things for us, so we love it.
Brilliant. Thank you. Well, thanks, guys, for being on the show.
Thanks for having
us. You here.
We should stay. Can we stay?
Yeah, you could just sit, hang about.
I'll sit right
there's
here.
A nice bar next door. You just sit on a bench and have a beer.
I'm good.
There you go. You can,
I'm good.
We're
can
in.
Learn all about English pubs. Well, it's not really a pub, but sort of. Thank you.
Whatever works.
Discover In Demand online. Find out everything you need to know about Alex and Lucy. InDemand.fm.
This is In Demand with Alex on my own tonight. I usually have a girl with me called Lucy Man, so I apologise. She's not with me. She's on her honeymoon, so sorry about that.
Congrats to her.
But never has the phrase, hey man, been more appropriate than this evening. I bet you get that all the time, don't you?
Yeah, I do. It's all good, though.
Okay, we're going to get to know you in the unique In Demand way. We have a system for getting to know new artists. You're the first time on the show, so we need to get to know your favourite things. So, man, let's start with your favourite American city.
My favourite American city, I have to say, is Miami, man, all day.
Tell us why.
Just because it reminds me of L.A., but it's like a little bit sexier.
So I'm thinking of going to Miami next year in March. Is that a good time of the year to go?
March should be straight in Miami, actually, right?
How's the weather?
March is good in Miami.
Is the weather good at that time of year?
Yeah. The weather's pretty good out there, too.
And what kind of things do I need to check out when I'm there?
Check out the women. Check out the cars. And definitely just check out South Beach.
South Beach?
Yeah.
Is that where all the beautiful people are?
Yeah. Sure.
With the good bodies and the...
With the great bodies.
Yeah. Do people still rollerblade around there? Because I imagine that's the kind of things Miami people go up to.
Yeah, and they have, like, just crazy nice cars.
Okay. Do you use that as a place to inspire you for music? Because obviously, sort of, like, the West Coast is your prime sort of stomping ground, so to speak.
Yeah.
But do you take stuff from Miami?
Yeah, definitely. When I go to Miami, I definitely, like, get into, like, a flyer mind state. You know, when it comes to, like, just being flashy and fly and having swag, when I go to Miami, it just gets heightened, you know?
Okay, let's move on to second favorite thing, your favorite hat.
My favorite hat?
Yes.
Like city or something?
No, like your beanie or a baseball cap or...
Oh, yeah, well, I love just the blue LA hat.
Okay.
Just to keep it OG with the LA, you know?
Favorite season in the year?
Definitely summer.
Yeah?
Yeah, my birthday's in the summer.
Okay, what date is it?
July 17th, I'm gonna Cancer.
Write that down and we'll send you a card.
I appreciate it.
Favorite ice cream?
Favorite ice cream would have to be cookies and cream.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
Definitely a classic.
Do you enjoy ice cream when you go to the movies? Or are you more of a popcorn kind of guy?
I'm more of a candy guy when I go to the movies, man.
Favorite scary movie?
Favorite scary movie? Probably Chucky.
Oh, that's a classic as well.
Yeah, it scared me as a kid.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, weird. Ultimate favorite holiday destination. Where would you choose to go?
Holiday destination. I used to go to Utah for Christmas because my grandma lived out there, and I had some of the best memories out there for that. So,
okay,
I would say there.
And finally, before we start talking music and the good stuff, favorite cheese.
Favorite cheese?
Yeah,
American.
Okay. Have you ever tried squeezy cheese? Because that's
cheese?
Quite a big thing in America, isn't it? You can get
cheese.
It's a bit like sort of like a squeezy mayo bottle.
I've never even heard of it.
I saw someone eating it once.
Cheese, the spray cheese from the spray can too.
Can you get that?
I don't know. I haven't seen those in a while, but I remember I used to get them.
That sounds like something that's really bad for your health, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, I used to spray it directly in my mouth, too.
Amazing. Are you quite health conscious?
I am. I wasn't before.
Do you do a lot of exercise?
Yeah, now I do.
Now you're in the public eye.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you've got girls and women lusting after you the world over.
I can't disappoint my women.
You've got to maintain a standard.
Exactly.
You've got to.
You know what it is.
Totally. Let's talk about working with the legend that is 50 Cent.
Yeah, man.
This song, by the way, has just become an anthem, like that, here in the UK.
I'm so appreciative, man. I appreciate all the love I've been getting.
And there's a bit of genius behind it in JR wrote him, isn't there, as well?
Exactly. JR is a genius.
So how did you two first get together, start working together?
Well, JR, I was introduced to JR from Steve Lobel, who was Sean Kingston's manager and now my manager.
Okay.
And he, you know, I was introduced to Steve by Jamie Adler when I brought him a song called Jerkin'. And this was like 3 years ago when I was 16. So, you know, that's how we all started and we all became a big family. A to Z, Beluga Heights.
But you don't say Beluga Heights in the record. I'm quite disappointed.
Oh, no. I definitely say it in the album for sure. Okay. I love my label.
We need a Beluga Heights in there, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
It's kind of been set the standard by Jason Derulo. JLS here did it as well.
Yeah, man.
Who else did a good Beluga Heights? Ayaz did a good Beluga Heights.
Yeah, definitely. My next record will definitely have a Beluga Heights in here.
Did he say to you, who do you want to bring in on this record? Did you make it originally on your own and then 50 came in at a later stage?
Yeah, actually, the record was originally just set to be my record. And 50 heard the record like on the radio in L.A. and he just hopped on it. And then put it out online, and because he's so big as an artist, like people just gravitated towards it. You know, like it got so many eyeballs because of 50 Cent name, and then people actually just ended up loving the record.
Do you think that's important for someone who's kind of a new artist? You're aiming to kind of maybe break a bigger market than just North America. You come into Europe and Asia and places like that, where 50's a big star. We all know who he is.
Yeah, that definitely helped me. I think that with 50 being on the record, it opened me up to a lot of like different things, and it opened a lot of different people up to me. You know, like if a lot of people checked out the record because 50 was on it and then became fan of Man, you know?
And did you find the sample yourself, or was that given to you? Because it's an old classic.
The sample, I heard the record and instantly hit JR and was like, yo, man, let's flip that song. And he was, you know, he's down, you know, because that's like my bro, man. So I always hit him with new ideas. He flipped it a year later. Actually, we worked on it because I had the record for a year and just didn't know how to attack it until just one day it just came to me.
I can tell just from talking to you that you just know what you want. And at 19, you must have experienced something in your life that made you just kind of this incredible, put you on this incredible mission.
I mean, I've always been like that. You know, that's the reason behind my name, Man. You know, it's like as a young cat, like my family, everybody always noticed that I knew what I wanted. And I always acted way older than what I really was. So that's how they start calling me Lil Man. And then eventually it just turned into Man.
So what kind of, tell me a little bit about your background growing up on the West Coast. And was that, was it scary at any point? Or
growing up in L.A., you know, I definitely dealt with the cliche L.A. life, you know, gang banging and all that. And, you know, I didn't get into gangbanging because my mom and everybody I knew wanted to keep me out of the streets. So they put me in acting schools and stuff. And, like, especially when I start being, like, kind of bad in L.A., like, just trying to be a rebel and do what I had to do to get respect, it kind of just, you know, like, I just know that's not really what I stand for. I stand for peace, you know what I'm saying? So
once you start doing music over there, though, do people start threatening you?
No, when it was before I started doing music, that's when, like, everything started getting, like, kind of rough, you know?
Because,
you know, it was just me and my mom. So, you know, growing up, I had to prove myself to a lot of cats, you know? Especially if they try to test me, because I'm little, too. So a lot of people would try to, like, test me, and I had to fight a lot growing up. But then, eventually, I kind of started getting my respect. And the more respect I got, the less I started caring about it, you know?
Okay. So. Success speaks volumes, doesn't it?
Exactly.
And you say there's been a revolution in music on the West Coast. What do you mean by that?
There's a lot of different new artists coming out with different messages, you know, because the West Coast is known for one sound, really, and that's gangster rap, you know. And now, like years later, we had to go back to the drawing board and come up with something new, and we all came up with just different swags. Like, nobody sounds alike no more, but we're all not talking about gangbanging. We're definitely talking about different things and things with different subject matters, and it's a revolution going on, and I think it's really dope. And I think in the next couple of years, West Coast is going to be back dominating.
So times are changing in terms of the music that's coming out of that
Definitely.
Area of the world. Do you think that will then change the attitude of people who live there? Can you sort of can you use music to sort of stop people getting into gangs and stuff like that?
I definitely think that music is a good way to start. You know, I think that the way the music, at least I know how I've been changing people's lives. Like in my hood in West LA, I know a lot of cats look at me for like, you know, like just inspiration. You know, a lot of my homies do gangbang, but they see what I'm doing and they're just inspired to do way more now. You know, they're not really even fascinated with their life. They're fascinated in my life and how being successful feels. So, you know, I think that music and just being successful and giving back to your community could definitely help change, you know, especially in LA. That's what I've been doing.
It's a great attitude to have. More people should have it, really, especially
exactly.
musicians as well. Because
I
think some musicians forget how influential they are sometimes.
Right, and I think I don't want to forget, and I always want to keep that in my mind, how influential music is and how influential my voice is.
Definitely. It's been great chatting to you. Thank you very much for your time, mate.
I appreciate it, bro.
All we need to do is get you introduced a song. You can do that now for us, and we will play it on In Demand.
All right. What's going on? This is your boy, M-A-N-N, man, and this is my new song, Buzzin', right here on In Demand. Yomp.
You're listening to the In Demand podcast. Don't forget to follow In Demand on Twitter. Twitter.com/AlexandLucy.
This is In Demand with Alex and Lucy, and Fife Dangerfield is here to represent the Guillemots.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, dude.
It's good to have you back.
You've come on your own.
Haven't been called dude in a while.
That's a few times.
Did you mind?
No, it's good. I like it.
You are here representing the band.
Yes, with a Z. Yeah.
Let's
represent.
But let's touch slightly before we move on to that on the solo stuff. We spoke to you during the solo campaign, but we've not spoken to you since the success of...
She's Always a Woman.
She's Always a Woman. It became a thing.
It did. It became a thing, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it was. It's just a strange little part of what I've done so far, I guess. It was, you know, because my album was already out. I just got asked if I wanted to sing it, and so it was like, yeah.
And then it was massive.
Because I like Billy Joel, but we weren't going to release it. It was just going to be on TV, but then it kind of, stations started asking to, you know, for copies they could play and stuff, so we kind of had to make it available.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's grand. I mean, I didn't really do anything with it, you know. I just sung the song in a very straight way. I mean, because that's what I was asked to do, and you know. But it's a great song.
It is a great song.
Was it the sort of song though where your family would sort of text you and go, "I've just seen it on telly"? Did you get any of those from your relatives?
No, it's not really. I mean, they you know, my mum and dad and stuff are always watching everything we do anyway. So,
did they shop more often at John Lewis because of it, do you think?
I don't know.
You always said you'd go back to the band, and that's obviously your original kind of platform.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really been away from the band.
Yeah,
like,
it was just kind of...
All the time that we were... So I was out doing stuff for my record. I mean, we only took 3 or 4 months off, like, 2 years ago.
And you were quite keen to stress that, though, when you came in, because I think it was... I think whenever anyone does,
people just presume
work.
You've split up.
Yeah.
You know, if you do, it's just that I like to do as much music as I can. You know,
we had John Fratelli come through with Codeine Velvet Club,
right?
Yeah.
And now he's just releasing solo material himself, actually.
Right?
But he's always been the same. He's always, it's not over.
No,
it's fine.
But what's nice is you actually kept your word, because you get a lot of bands who go, "Yeah, we're having a break," and then like Girls Aloud, for example, what's happened?
We never even had a break.
No.
We had a three or four month break. Mm. It was just that we've been, you know, writing for ages behind closed doors, and you know, so that's.
Is that what everyone else did as well? Because obviously you went off and did solo music. What about the rest of Guillemots? Was it writing, or did they have like a little bit of chill out time as well?
Yeah, we all had 3 or 4 months off, and then we all just started getting together and writing again, like April 2009. So we've been, you know.
You've got past that now second difficult album period as well, I suppose.
That's what they always call it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some truth in that, because, you know, the first one you've sort of been, you know, plotting for years and dreaming it up. But I don't know. I mean, we're still really proud of our second record, but it was, you know, I think we were sort of figuring some things out. So that's why we wanted to take a while for this one. And we've written loads, so it's like... There's this record, but there's also, you know, we've got so many ideas about what we're going to do next as well.
So you've learned lessons from your second album?
You must learn with every album.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see things as a sort of career path, you know. It's just making a record and then making another record. I guess you learn with each one, but I don't really see it as the first record and the second record. Okay. It's just sort of, they're all records, you know.
It's an anthology of stuff.
And you don't want to repeat yourself and, you know, you just want each one to be different, I think.
Yeah.
And I think, for like you say, the first album, you probably spent so long coming up with that. And then the second album, you are more pressured. And I also think that's part of the whole reason that people have this whole, what they call that difficult second album thing. But like you say, you know, you've almost like had time out to do what you want to do, get back together, write even more songs.
Yeah,
just carry on. But why do you think they do have this theory? What is it all about?
Well, I think for the reason you just said, probably.
It is just,
you
know, that whole being pushed.
Well, actually, Jessie J said...
Because, yeah, that was what I was getting to.
She came here and she said, you know, what do I do for my second album now? Because my first one's been so big. All I can write about, essentially, is being famous.
But I don't think that's true. I mean, I kind of think that's, you know... I mean, I don't really agree with that. I think there's some truth in that. I mean, I think, you know, maybe with, you know, say Oasis or something, that the first album, a lot of, I think, what drove that album was a sort of, or as I hear it, there's just a hunger in it. There's this desperate hunger in it for something. And I suppose when you do become like a huge band, maybe there's a degree of you're just on another level. But I mean, in terms of writing about, I don't know, and maybe it's because I come to it more from the musical angle, but I mean, I'm like, I'm never going to not want to play music, and I'm never going to stop having things happen in my life and have, you know, I don't think it's true that if you achieve a certain level of success, then you've got things to write about. You know, I think about it a lot. It's the same with relationships, mm-hmm. you know, like, I mean, it's an eternal kind of question. It's like, can you get to a point where you're really happy in your life and still carry on writing music that's, you know, writing songs that are kind of,
don't mean
exciting
anything,
you know, yeah. but you can, of course you can.
I mean, we thank God,
you know, like, because it's not like biography, like writing songs isn't just going, this is what you know, in songs you draw on everything you experienced your whole life. It could be something an emotion you felt in a dream when you were 14, or it could be a look someone gave you in a shop yesterday, or that it's the distillation of any of those moments, you know, into a piece of music, I think, you know. So I think it's your imagination can be running wild.
It can go anywhere, can't it?
Yeah,
really.
And it shouldn't really affect you whether you have success or failure, you know.
I see what you mean about Oasis, though, actually, because the first album was really raw and really, like you said,
there was a definite,
the second album,
you know,
was, I mean, I love What's the Story, Morning Glory. It's a great album, but it's very polished.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different thing, you know. I mean, I mean, I don't know.
I find it quite interesting analysing these things.
Yeah.
It's quite cool to do.
I mean, we wonder where Adele would be had she not had that messy breakup.
Right. Yeah.
This
is
it, though. But daily observations. I mean, you must soak things up like a sponge. You must sort of look at, like you say, if someone looked at you funny in a shop, or do you know?
Yeah,
what I
mean,
you must notice so many things and then go, right, what am I going to do with that? Or does it just come?
But
to you
know, it's just never contrived like that. I don't. And I don't tend to sit down and want to write about things, you know. I just write music,
yeah.
Like, and the music will evoke a feeling in me, and then words will sort of fall out, kind of that sort of match that feeling.
Or memories, sometimes memories.
The lot, you know, and dreams of the future as well.
Do you get affected by where you make the album? You made it in North Wales this one, didn't you?
Well, I mean that's where we did a lot of it. Yeah, I mean. Yeah, definitely where you record and where you write or anything, it has a big influence. And I think it was the perfect place to be for this record, yeah.
Well, the video for Walk the River, it's like a short film, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I call it a video or film. I don't know, really.
If it's over 5 minutes, it's a short film. I don't know. But it's almost haunting. But then and the music sort of builds into a more of a crescendo towards the end. And it's a lovely, lovely video. Where did you film it? Because it's obviously near the sea somewhere.
It's on the south coast, this place called Dungeness. It's a really haunting sort of landscape. I mean, I see that song as just being this sort of endless journey, and I think that was kind of what we wanted.
You're just walking forever.
Yeah.
And then poking your head through
the old buildings. It's sort of unable to stop. It's just this kind of endless journey. It just seemed to match the song to go there and do that.
It does, definitely. And it just looks so epic.
Yeah.
The way it's shot.
It's actually filmed by Polly from Casualty.
No way!
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. She was the assistant camera person on
the video shoot we did for The Basket.
Wow.
And we'd been doing another video for Walk the River, but it kind of fell through. It wasn't quite looking right. So we had to make something else in about 4 days. Because we, you know, I'd wanted to have a video for that track.
Of course,
Just because it's the title track of the album and it sort of probably represents more the kind of record we made. So you know, kind of got talking to her, and she was free at the weekend. So like me and my girlfriend and her sort of went to Dungeness in a car, and I mean she was amazing. But yeah, I found out later she's like Polly in Casualty.
That's amazing.
I don't really watch much TV, so.
Well, she obviously learned stuff from her time as a TV actress. She definitely did, judging by the video.
What have you got lined up for festivals?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, this and that. I can never remember exactly which ones we're doing, you know. So,
Here, there and everywhere. Good to be back on the circuit, I guess. Do you know, is Walk the River going to be the second single, is that?
No, I think it's going to be a song called I Must Be a Lover. I think that's going to be the next.
Do we know when we're looking at hearing that?
I don't know, actually. We're just figuring all that out.
So what would you like us to play now? Walk the River, The Basket, or second single?
Can you play anything from the record?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, well, play
swearing, isn't it?
Play a song called Vermilion. The second track.
You introduce it for us. Tell us what it's about.
Is this the one with Fleetwood Mac inspired genius?
Well, apparently, that's what the press people say.
Yeah. What do you say?
Well, it's just a song that I wrote early last year and just came out very quickly. And we actually built the song over the... I wrote the song at home, and as soon as I had the idea, I sort of had some vague words. I sort of just sung it into my Mac, you know, just Mac mic. On the computer, just so I didn't forget it, and then we ended up building the song over that, because our producer David was kind of, we've done that before, you know, and it was nice. He was like, "Oh, I think you've got the atmosphere there. We should just build on that." So you know, but I really like the song, and
kind of simple beginnings, and then it's turned
into you know, I could do a guitar solo on it.
Which nice.
I don't think I've ever done on a guitar track before.
Well, you can say you have now.
it's not too smooth, I don't think. This is Guillemots and Vermilion.
Fife, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in.
Cool, thank you.
Discover In Demand online. There's always a chance to win. Indemand.fm.
It's In Demand, and tonight it is my pleasure to welcome back a friend of the show, I think we can call him that. It's Jay Sean. Hello.
Definitely a friend of
the show. Yeah. How are you?
I'm so good.
You're so glad to be back.
It's lovely to be back. You know, it's just, it's been a bit of a whirlwind. It's been pretty crazy. I mean, it's nothing like sort of coming home and having a little taste of the things that a creature comforts now, basically.
Well, we were just saying before we started the interview, you've got a nice cup of tea as well, so...
Yes, you need that. That's the first thing I do when I come back to England. I go over to Mum's house. She lives 10 minutes away from Heathrow Airport. Pop in. My mum get the kettle on.
Yeah.
And get the washing machine ready, because I've got a bunch of crap here that I need you to sort out for me.
So
that's great.
So, Jay, you're all settled with a nice mug of British brew.
Yes.
Okay, well, you sit back, drink that, and we'll get back to you in a second.
Lovely.
In Demand with Alex and Lucy. Just me tonight, though, on the interview with Jay Sean. Hello again.
Hello. You say just me tonight as if it's some sort of letdown.
Well, hopefully I'm not a letdown.
No, definitely not.
You'd prefer it was just me anyway, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
I mean, how rude of Alex.
Let's hope he's not listening.
No, he won't be. It's fine.
Even if he is, yeah.
Yeah, whatever, Alex.
Yeah, whatever, mate.
How dare you stand
just me
up,
and Lucy
Sean.
Now.
Yeah, totally. Right, so we were just saying before, it's been a while since you've been back in the UK. You've already been to see your mum and all of that. And of course, you've got a brand new single, Hit the Lights.
Yes.
With Lil Wayne. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Totally in love with it. We played it quite a while back as our chosen one. In fact, I think you retweeted our tweet and we played it, I think.
There you go. I remember now. You guys played it pretty much before anybody did.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you did.
As soon as we got it, literally as soon as I heard the first 10 seconds, I was like, we're playing this tonight. It's on. What happened with the Lil Wayne thing then? Was it a case of you just call him up? He's a former collaborator of yours and mate of yours.
You know what it was? Because obviously, Down did such magic and crazy things for me off the last album.
Yeah.
And it was going to always be obvious that I was going to have Wayne on this album. Yeah. We're label mates and, you know, he's... It's Wayne, isn't it? You don't just sort of go, oh, no, so I don't think I want him on my
album.
Well,
didn't Down sell over like 4 million copies or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, coming up to sort of six now worldwide.
Oh, man.
And not that I'm counting.
No.
but a couple of million do make a little difference.
Yes.
And so, you know, we played him the song and he's like, man, this is crazy. The beat is crazy. I love this. And, you know, it was the one that he wanted to hop on. And I just love it. I think it's I love performing it. It gives me so much sort of, I get so excited performing the song. So I'm hoping that people feel the same way when they hear it, you know?
Well, do you know what I love about it as well is there's you, obviously, you're pretty well known. You've got massive star like Lil Wayne on it as well. But there's still an Asian flavour to it. There's a bit
so?
Where it's going, hey, hey, hey. And I could just hear that in a Bollywood movie as soon as I heard it.
Wow, that's interesting. I never even thought
Did
of that.
Did you not?
It's actually a hip-hop sample.
Is it? It sounds like it's from a Bollywood film.
Hey, it's a hip-hop sound.
Hey, I could just see people like doing a really cool dance to it and stuff.
Amazing, amazing. Let them.
See, everyone gets something different from these songs.
There you go.
Now, of course, earlier this year, you did attend the Grammys with a load of your Cash Money label mates. Mm-hmm. Or Money Money, isn't that what your mum calls it, your label?
Yeah, Money Money Records.
Bless her heart.
And she calls her, recently she's been calling Lil Wayne that little fella. Which is my favourite. My favourite. Oh, I've heard that lovely new song of yours with the little fella.
The little
Very
fella.
Good. I mean, yes, mum, that's actually what he loves to be known as.
Oh my God. At least she didn't call him a midget. That would have been worse, wouldn't it?
That would have been really bad.
Really bad. But what was it like as an experience going to the Grammys? Was it really boring being sat there for hours, or was it actually an amazing thing to do?
No, you know what? As a music lover, you can never, ever get bored surrounded by that many amazing artists, that much sort of creativity in one room. It's just, there's nothing bigger than that for me as a lover of music, a fan of music, to be there and actually enjoy somebody else's show. I mean, it sounds so silly, but that's rare for us.
You get to actually relax and enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah, it's very rare for us to watch somebody else do something so amazing and put on there and watch somebody else, you know, perform. And that was something wonderful for me. But I think the most... Probably apart from the moment where I was in the VIP bar and was ordering a drink, and on the right of me, a certain young hottie had spilt some wine on her dress.
Who's that?
Oh, just Eva Longoria.
Oh my God, amazing!
Standing right next to Kim Kardashian, the two hottest women in the world.
Well, you just
that
sat
was
there
actually
going, wow.
My highlight, and yeah. Here's me, smooth, right? You want to put some club soda on that, love? Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Oh,
yeah.
She loved it, though.
Did
She's
she?
Like, I know. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put some club soda. I was like, I'll do it for you. I don't mind.
Which part of her dress did you spill it on, Jay?
Did I spill it on? Exactly. Yeah, so that was actually the highlight for me. But the other good part of it was when we were at the pre-Grammy. We were at the pre-Grammy party, the Cash Money, Young Money pre-Grammy party, which... Mm. Not being biased here, was the hottest ticket in town.
It's everybody, the one to go to, isn't it?
Everybody wanted to go to.
Yeah.
There were celebrities being turned down at the door. Major celebrities couldn't get in because it was over capacity.
Oh my God, and who didn't get in?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, come on. Did Lindsay Lohan get turned away?
Nah.
She did from another one.
Turned away from every party.
She did, didn't she? I read about that. Yeah, anyway, sorry, carry on.
And I was the only performer at the party.
Wow.
So that was a pretty big deal. So it was like, it was just amazing, man.
How did you feel the next day?
I felt great. I mean, it took it a little bit easy. You didn't go mental or nuts in there because we had a lot of stuff on the next day. But we had a great, great time.
It's always the way though, isn't it? If you've got a really good party to go to, the next day they book you up for loads of stuff. And you're like, what?
Always, always.
I want to let my hair down a bit.
Always. Let me tell you, the reason why my voice is so hoarse right now, I don't know if you've been able to tell this.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And,
it's quite sexy, actually.
Well, I was just about to change my story and say I'm trying to opt for a bit more of a husky, sexy tone. But it's just because I'm basically losing my voice because it's been nuts over the last couple of weeks.
Maybe some club soda will help it, Jay.
Yeah, smooth.
We'll rest your voice for a second. Do you want to introduce your brand new single?
Of course. Check it out. This is Jay Sean live and direct. This is my brand new song. It features Lil Wayne, or the little fella, as my mum calls him. This is called Hit the Lights.
It's brand new from Jay Sean and Lil Wayne, the little fella. God love him. He loves that name. It's called Hit the Lights on In Demand. Now, of course, we know you've already worked with Lil Wayne, Nicki Minaj and Mary J. Blige on the new album. Are there any other names that you wish to divulge that you may have...
I'm going to say no, because I want, you know what I've realised? I've realised that, you know, it's like Christmas Day. If you know what you're going to open, it's not exciting, is it?
No, this is
true. So I'm like, let's keep a few things a little bit of a surprise.
Okay, okay, because there's quite a few rumours, the likes of Akon.
Too many, just loads. Let's like just squash them.
Okay, yeah. you're not having any of it, are you?
No, because I don't want people to start talking misinformation. Next thing you know, someone will be asking that artist, so I heard you done a song with Jason, and they'll be like, what? No, I don't, what are you talking about? I'm not done, and I'll look like an idiot. So.
And then you'll get into trouble.
Yeah, it's all a lot of rumours. Some of them are true, though, but a lot of rumours.
Okay, now, of course, we are already getting closer and closer to the summer, which I can't quite believe. The year's going so quick. How many festivals have you booked up for yet? Are you doing any?
All right, you're gonna laugh.
Okay.
My first day off. Okay.
Yeah.
My first day off is at the back end of June.
Oh my god.
So from now, what are we in? I don't even know what day it is. March or something. So I don't get a day until the back end of June, and then July and August all booked up. Radio shows in America plus radio shows here, festivals. It's going to be a mad one.
So are you going to be doing anything like Ibiza Rocks?
I want to go back there, you know. I was talking to someone the other day about going to Ibiza because the last time I went there was when, I guess, is the best time to go there, when I was sort of like 19, 20 years old, went there. I laughed, raved it up, but I kind of want to do that again, I feel like.
Yeah, and with something like that, I mean, it's becoming bigger and bigger every year, the acts they book up for it and everything, and I think an artist like you would work really well out there.
It would be fun.
Get little Wayne, get the little one to come out with you.
Get the little one.
The little one.
Little bloke.
The little bloke.
Little bloke.
He'd love it, wouldn't he? He'd be living it up.
Oh, my God. It would be crazy.
Now, I think the UK would possibly benefit from an urban music festival. We don't seem to have a specific, like an all-weekend urban festival.
We've got enough artists now to do it.
Well, this is it, because it's kind of, you know, urban music is dominating the chart at the moment. It's dominating the video channels, all of that. If you were going to have your own festival in your back garden, for example, who would be your ideal lineup?
Well, it'd be all my mates, all my boys. Yeah. People I've done songs with already. Chipmunk, Tiny Temper, Skepta. Hold on, I want to make sure I don't leave anyone out. N-Dubs, I'd have Pro Green, Wretch, I'd have Example, I'd have all the boys, all of them fellas would be in the lineup.
I think you'd couple of girls as well though to balance it out.
Alicia, who I've done a song with, would perform our song, Every Little Part of Me.
Love Alicia.
Alicia Dixon, yeah, I love her too. Who else?
What about Jessie J? Do you like Jessie J?
Oh yes, I was with her a couple of days ago. Actually, she's wicked.
Yeah.
So I'd have her in there as well, definitely in the mix.
Okay, that sounds like a good festival. What would you call it? Putting you on the spot now.
UK, we run things.
I like that.
We run things. Yeah.
We run things.
I like that. We run things. Things not run we.
Now you do realise if this festival happens, you have to give me a cut, okay? Because I gave you the idea.
Fine.
Right, fine. I've got that recorded, so it's all good. Now, of course, you're quite a regular user of Twitter. Now, I want to make Alex a bit jealous because you tweeted a picture recently of your gold Nikes.
Oh yeah,
which are pretty nice. But Alex has got a similar pair, and they're Nike Dunks.
Ooh.
And they're literally all gold. So whose pair is better, Jay? You've got to decide.
Why? Mine, though, obviously.
Obviously.
I haven't seen his, but mine, yeah.
He's a rubbish, Jay.
This is crap.
Terrible.
This is not all gold-plated like mine is.
It is.
Not real gold, though. Mine's real gold.
Real gold?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, not really. But
That's what you spent the money on from down.
Let's just... Yeah, on something that's going to get dirty on my feet.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I know, I'll get some gold-plated trainers.
Amazing, yeah, with diamond-encrusted bottom soles.
Now, something else that was happening on Twitter recently, and I was really annoyed. I got angry because Wiley was being mean to you. Have you sorted it out?
Being mean to you?
He was being horrible. He was almost being racist at one point. I was like, Wiley, back off!
That was craziness. It was all a big misunderstanding. I called him up. I said, what is the matter? Yeah. What's going on here?
What's your beef?
I said, what's going on? And it was just silly. It was a misunderstanding because I had written to him on Twitter and then I didn't get back to him because I was in a meeting and then I think he thought I got all Hollywood on him.
But it's like, do you know what? I might have been busy.
I was busy.
Yeah, you're like, calm down, mate.
It was funny. So it's all right. We sorted it out. It's all good.
Oh, good. It's okay. I just wanted to make sure because I saw Aaron. You know your plugger, Aaron.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I saw him the other day and I was talking to him about it and I was like, I can't quite believe how rude Wiley was to Jay. And your response was very tactful as well.
Thank you.
See, polite young man, you've been well brought up.
Well, this is it. I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer in manners. I think that's something that is unfortunately nowadays going down the toilet. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of kids sort of, yeah. I'm probably going to sound like an old fogey here, but
I don't care.
No, I'm
with you.
It's important. I mean, back in the day, you know what I mean? Like, people would have said, you don't speak like that or you don't say that. And now parents don't have the chance to say that to their kids, because even if they're going to act one way in front of them, the next minute they're in their room sitting behind computers mm-hmm. writing the most ridiculous things on YouTube and Twitter. And I'm like, what is that really what you want to put out there to the world? Like, you guys should think about what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, that's the scary part of Twitter. I've always, I tweeted a couple of times. I said, you know, Twitter is literally a window to your soul. It tells the whole world who you are and what you are like. So if you're on there cursing and effing and blinding and bitching this person out and saying that, and is that really how you want the world to see you? I just don't get that, you know?
I think it should be used for something positive, or use it in a way that you want to, but almost you have to edit yourself, don't you? You have to be careful what you put.
You know what I always say? I say the reason we've been given a mouth that can open and close is so that we can actually think before we speak. Our ears stay open, you know what I mean? But our mouth can close. So sometimes you should close it.
You're like the Yoda of the music world, Jay.
I just believe in these things.
Knowledgeable I am.
I think you should think about these things,
definitely,
man. You know what I mean? It's silly. It's just it's very easy to get out of hand.
Well, my little sister, she's only 14, and she put something on Facebook the other day that I was like, yeah. whoa.
Exactly.
Like, and my other half was like, did you see what she put on Facebook? But yes. I'm staying out of it. I haven't told my mum.
Right. Well, I caught my cousins out.
Yeah.
I caught my cousins out like that. And I called him up and I was like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So you never told me that, but you want to tell the whole world that before you tell. And he's like, oh, can you see that? I said, duh. The whole world can see it. Oh, my God.
They don't realise, do they? They think it's just them and their mates. You're like, hold on. You're friends with like 1,000 people on Facebook.
Exactly.
Everyone can see it.
Exactly. Oh.
I feel like we've had a good old rant, Jay. It's good. Now, before you go, is there any way you could introduce either, right, an old track of yours, an old single of yours, or a current chart hit that you like?
Sure. Oh, let's do Ride It.
Yeah, we've got a live version of that. What would you, that you did for us, what would you rather hear, your original version or the live version?
Oh, God, I haven't heard the live version in ages. Let's go with the original.
Okay, just in case.
Just in case it's horrendous.
All right, cool. It's brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
Would you like to introduce it?
Sure. Hey, check it out. This is Jay Sean, and this one is a throwback song, one of my singles from a couple of years ago. This is called Ride It. Enjoy.
You're listening to the In Demand Podcast.
The podcast.
Don't forget to follow In Demand on Facebook. Facebook.com/AlexandLucy.
This is In Demand tonight, One Night with the Script, and we welcome Danny, Glenn, and Mark from the band.
Hello.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
How are you?
Yeah, we're good. How are you doing?
Very good.
Tonight, it's all about you taking over. We're going to get an hour of live music from you guys a little later on as well from your tour. So thank you for allowing us access.
Yeah.
You were live on the show with us last summer.
Mm.
Seems
yes.
like a long time
wow.
ago now. We should start really with a song. What song would you like to start with? Something current, something old, something in between? It's entirely up to you, but it's got to be one of yours.
Oh, it's got to be one of us.
Oh.
I'd say If You Ever Come Back.
If you ever come back.
It's like good, Danny.
You won't feel a thing. I was like, you won't feel a thing.
I'm laughing with him.
If You Ever Come Back.
Yeah,
I would like
okay.
to play that song.
Let's do it. We're going to chat some more after this.
In Demand.
In Demand tonight with the Script, taking over One Night with the Script. And we were saying before, the latest single that you were with us last summer, did you ever think it would be as successful as it was?
Yeah, when we released Science and Faith, we had no idea that was actually going to be the success that it was. You know, off the back of the first album, we were just hoping to kind of still be employed, maybe singing The Man Who Can't Be Moved for the rest of our lives. But no, came along the second album. And it's been astonishing.
And you admitted quite openly to us guys that you didn't change the formula too much on purpose. You didn't want to rewrite the rule book.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing for us is that we're just normal lads in that sense that like this type of music. There's no point in us going out and making some dance album or some reggae album, you know. It's not kind of what we're about. We're about this style of music. So I think it's always best to just make the music that you're actually passionate about and into, rather than trying to be something you're not, if you know what I mean. I think the second we go down some other road, people are going to go, oh, you know, why are they changing their sound suddenly? So I think it's just about writing great songs, you know, at the end of the day, and that's what we're loyal to, you know.
Do you still get a chance to spend time together as mates as opposed to just colleagues?
We're pretty good at being able to switch off, you know, at the end of the day. We do revert back to being friends, you know, because at the end of the day, we actually always get to go back on stage, you know, although let's say doing interviews and traveling around, we do as colleagues, but you know, you're always with your mates. You can always just turn around and go, hey, look, check this out. This is hilarious. Or this, that, and the other. I think we tend to wear the hats quite well.
I think you need that. Without that, I think you go insane. I really do. The fact that we have that bond, and we've had that before we were a band, I think that's what, still has us here enjoying what we're doing.
Can you still feel the moments where, like, for example, The Man Who Can't Be Moved went into the top 10, number 2 smash for you guys?
Yeah.
Can you still remember what that felt like at that very moment when you heard the news?
You do as well, I think, because every night on stage that people, it's a really strange feeling that you write a song in a shed and then you have all these lyrics and these ideas and you think it's a great song yourself and there's 18,000 people singing those words back to you. It's so strange. So you can't help but be reminded of that moment when it did really well, because the fact that all those people know it is obviously they've heard it so many times and it's part of their life as well. So yeah, it's incredibly strange. Yeah, while it's weird in one sense, the power of it is just you would never forget why you wrote the song. You would never forget all the journey of that song, you know.
Let's play it now. Glenn, can you introduce it for us?
This is The Script, and here's our song, The Man Who Can't Be Moved.
In Demand.
It's In Demand with Alex and Lucy, and we are joined by the lovely guys from The Script. Hello again.
Hello.
Hi. We've had you on the show quite a few times. We've discussed this before, but for everyone who isn't aware of your beginnings, I'm sorry, Danny, you were in My Town. We're bringing that up again.
He was.
But you're cool with that, right?
Yeah, why wouldn't
it's
I
fine.
Be?
He's like,
no, I was
there.
We were in a band years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that was the very reason why I got into the music industry.
There you go.
We got a great taste for music back then. We were like 16, 17. And we had a fantastic time of heading over to America, working with the likes of Boyz II Men and Teddy Riley, Blackstreet.
Amazing.
Like loads of incredible people. And what that did for me was really give me a taste and a feel for my first kind of start in production.
Well, I suppose when you look back on that, it's slightly cringeworthy as well. You know, when you look back at what way your hair was or what way you dressed or the fact that I had hair, you know, now I don't. So it's like, you know, it's when you look back on all those things, you kind of say to yourself, you know, that was a part of your childhood more than anything else. And I think everybody has those embarrassing photographs and embarrassing hairdos and things like that. But
we just happen to do it in front of a million people.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
There's nothing wrong with doing anything in front of a million people. No, if you've got their
and
attention.
Also, look at what it's made you into now. Do you know what I mean? It started that path for you and went for it. And now The Script are like one of the biggest bands in the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. And, you know, all the things we've done in between when you first started out, I've been in a million bands, you know. And this is the kind of funny point of it. There's never a light shined on the bands you thought was great yourself. It's just one day we end up forming this band, The Script, and suddenly a light gets shined on us and it works, you know.
And talk us through the moment when you did all sort of come together and form The Script and how you all knew each other from your backgrounds and everything.
Danny and myself was living in America at the time, just producing and writing for other bands and trying to really make our way through the production scene. We didn't really intend on becoming artists again. It wasn't an intention at all. It was actually that was starting to not work out for us because it was a big place. We were starting to really not make any money. The lights were flickering really bad, I suppose, in the studio. And it was kind of more of a desperate plea, I suppose, to write some of the songs we wrote. And Glenn came over on a holiday and kind of met us in the middle of probably towards the end of our production career, where we were starting to wrap up with that. And we actually naturally just jammed as mates. We just got into a studio and just jammed out. And it was those songs which became a template for what The Script was. We wrote Before the Worst. And it was when we came to the UK where it really kicked off first. And when We Cry went out, the attention just got really
brilliant
heavy
song.
On us. Yeah, it was really cool, and it was really cool for us to put a song like that out, because it felt for us it was a nice story and it was something that we really wanted to talk about.
Okay, now we're going to ask you now to choose your first song for us, something you might listen to when you're getting ready to go on stage, if it's the three of you, like a song to get you ready. You've obviously got one.
We've got loads.
Yeah, we've made a playlist the other day.
Yeah, we take five songs each and pop them into a playlist and put it on shuffle. That's what we do.
Wicked. Which one do you think, you know, it resonates the most for all three of you?
Oh, that's tricky.
I think if I was to go at one, I think Sweet Disposition from Temper Trap is a good one that we'd have on. It's kind of a cool song. We like that. We like to hear that before we go on.
We love that song.
Yeah, it's a great song.
Let's play it. This is The Temper Trap on In Demand.
In Demand.
Tonight, One Night with The Script on In Demand. Let's talk about the effect of your music as a band on people and how you set out to do that. Your songs kind of resonate with people emotionally, and I'm sure the fans tell you that quite a lot.
Yeah.
Is that something you're capable of setting out to do intentionally as musicians and as songwriters, or is it just something that happens like that?
I think if you don't set out to do it intentionally, what I mean by is to try and affect people, I think you're in the wrong game. You know, I think music is there. It's not like just some backdrop that people listen to. And that's definitely not why I do it. The things I'm more attracted to have a bit of an edge to it, have a bit of a poignancy, have the ability through lyrics to be able to slice you open a little bit and maybe have a post-mortem on yourself. You know, because I think the best songs in the world, you very rarely think about the songwriter. You always think about yourself. And I don't think you can consciously do that. I think by opening yourself up, you basically put a mirror to the person that's listening to it to say, like, this is the way I feel. Do you?
Who do you sort of look to when you're writing in contemporary music that you admire? Is there something, like when you were writing the current album, was there anything around at that time that kind of...
We always say our sound can start out to be a big car crash sometimes. I think that's because we're all so different in the music that we like. I suppose when we were first hanging out and making music together, bands would pop up, like, I suppose people like David Gray would pop up, The Police, and then I go across to Kanye West, you know, to I suppose Q-Tip, to a lot of hip-hop artists alongside a lot of rock artists, and I think you can kind of hear that in our sound.
So can you have a consensus between the three of you, from someone who's in the charts now, songwriter perhaps, singer-songwriter, who you'd like to hear on the show right now?
Ooh, singer-songwriter. You know, I think in this country right now, somebody who I can relate to would be someone like Plan B, personally, because he's on a real journey as an artist, and he's not looking to anybody else to try and get his approval. Can we play Stay Too Long?
Oh, we can play Stay Too Long, definitely. We play She Said All The
good
Time.
Stay Too Long. Go for one that we don't play all the time. Yeah.
Here it is. This is In Demand with Plan B.
You're listening to In Demand.
It's In Demand, and this is One Night with the Script. Now we're going to talk about the other side of the script, because we know the musical side.
We know
how you are in interviews. Of course, you're very charming men. Anyway,
there's
don't
another side.
One minute think that there is another side.
Once
there
you
might
stop
be.
Recording, we are demons.
There might be.
I like the raised eyebrows. There might be.
There might be something we
raised
don't
eyebrow.
Know. Yeah. How rock and roll has it got for you boys? You're Irish.
Yeah.
Which it kind of generally means you must like a drink.
We do. We enjoy a drink. We try not to make that such a part of who we are as a band, because I suppose it's so cliche for bands to be out there and they try to utilise that as a thing. That's something we naturally like to do, is go to a local bar and enjoy ourselves.
Of course.
We stay away from the VIP things because we just find them really pretentious. I find that anyone who wants to be famous...
Danny just yawned.
Yeah. I was just cracking my jaw. Sorry. Oh, right. I'm not bored of the interview.
Like,
I'm actually just cracking. I was just...
They are tired.
Yeah, we are. But, you know, we enjoy having a laugh. We enjoy having a drink. And, you know, when I say if it gets rock and roll, that's just kind of as far as it goes, but we do have our moments, you know, but we like to do that behind closed doors rather than doing it on the VIP clubs, because people are generally doing it because they're looking for publicity, aren't they?
Well, this is it. You see
is
people falling out
outside
of nightclubs.
Well, then I'm going to get drunk and fall out.
Yeah. No.
It wouldn't be that. You do meet like-minded artists who also enjoy a drink and also enjoy to have a bit of fun. And I'm not looking for publicity because of it, you know.
I like to think you have like an Irish committee.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like all the Irish stars of music, just all get
together
and you have like a big old pie.
There's one big pub. Well, you will realise that people who've been in the industry a long time, they kind of tend to have hobbies, you know. They just have different hobbies. Some people are photographers, some people fly planes, and some people go and look at buildings.
What are your hobbies then?
Photography. I like photography. Oh. Just picked it up. I wouldn't even call myself. I take photographs. That's all I do.
What about you, Glenn?
Me, I'd usually go to a bar and have a beer.
Is that your hobby?
That's my hobby. I hate to admit it. Yeah.
Okay, and Mark, for you?
I'm not sure. I don't really have a hobby. I don't think I'm...
Thinking. Thinking's his hobby.
Yeah.
He's always thinking about how to murder us.
Now, we want you to choose another song, something you would choose to start a weekend away from work.
Ooh,
from work.
What's been kind of on my playlist, I really like is Mark Ronson's Bang Bang. I really think that's a great song. It always perks me up a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a good one. Oh,
I like
it.
Yeah. I like Rail Ronnie.
Let's go with that.
It's good.
You happy with that? Okay.
Yes.
You're listening to In Demand.
It's One Night with the Script here on In Demand tonight, Danny. Let's talk about who inspires you as a band
Sure.
in terms of your live performances. who have you seen that you absolutely admire and think, well, they tick all the boxes for me and for the rest of the group?
I think I can only really speak for me because I've got a different taste to the lads, but I love anybody who's physically prepared to put themselves on the line, you know, who puts a massive amount of physicality into the performances, any of Coldplay or Chris Martin, Bono. They're people who get me amped and get me hyped because you see that it means something to them when they're on stage. You know, they're putting everything physically. They're not just standing there looking at their shoes, being too cool for school. They're just, you know, too school for cool. But that's me. I'm too school for cool. But no, I love anybody that really can lose themselves in a moment because I think there's something special about not trying to, you know, make sure your performance is 20,000 times better. Just make sure it's a really intimate performance and invite those 20,000 people in. And they've done it night and time after time. You know, night after night, and people like Paul McCartney as well. He was some that you, even at his age, you know, he's still knocking them dead in concerts. I mean, really is. He's a fantastic performer.
Who would you like us to play now?
Out of all those, why not go with Bono? Yeah, why not go with you two? Go with Magnificent off No Line on the Horizon.
Amazing.
Because it didn't get enough airplay.
You two on In Demand.
In Demand.
This is In Demand, one night with the script. The boys are still here. We're nearly done. We'll let you go off soon, probably to another gig.
Yeah, an hour of live music from you on the way pretty soon.
This is true. This is true, so yes, it's fine. It's all good. Let's talk about the future, of course. What have you got coming up beyond the tour?
Beyond the tour, there is no beyond the tour for us because
it's just constant.
It's constant. It is constant. We're booked up until November of this year, and
November
we're touring
2030.
We take this tour
probably.
We take this tour from the UK out to Australia, Asia, and then we go to America with it as well. So our record is starting to be released in those countries as well. So while we have a record out here, it's also being released there in the next couple of months and weeks and things like that. And it's doing really well ahead of us. So we don't have any plans for the future other than chasing our album around the world. Yeah. And that's kind of what we do.
You're like hamsters on a never-ending touring
that's
wheel.
That's all we
are.
Guinea pigs.
Now, we've been very, very lucky over in America that people have just been going out and buying. I mean, we're at 500,000. Singles now for the first time, which is phenomenal.
Well, is it number three, wasn't it, in the first week of release?
Yeah, the album went straight in number three on Billboard. And for an act on their second album only, you know, we kind of class ourselves as a UK act, Ireland, UK, to go over there and do that as well, do that damage is great, you know, it's just great for music over this side of the pond.
And maybe in terms of family lives, are you going to have any more kids?
I'm always popping kids out.
So when you plan on the next album, I don't know. Whenever Mark's having a new baby.
My answer. Then you have to go and promote it.
Yeah, it's generally a baby every record for me. So I'll wait on the third record to break the news to the lads.
So the strategy for the third album will be... get your wife knocked up.
Yeah.
Then you'll start working the third
album.
And
then working the third album.
I'll get me heartbroken. He'll have a baby and that thing.
And we need the world to come out of recession as well so you can do something sunnier.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, he's going to get his heart broken, so we'll probably have The Man Who Can't Be Moved Part 2.
Yeah. Or as you say in France, deux.
Deux. Should we go right back to the beginning and play We Cry?
Yeah, that'd be great. It was a great entry point for us as a band, I think.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Guys, thank you
for
being brilliant.
Honestly, we always see you guys every year as well. You guys have been there from the start since we came in with We Cry and stuff like that. So it's great to
see you
guys are doing as well as us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Yay!
Don't forget, the In Demand podcast will update on Friday night. Make sure you subscribed and you'll get the best of the guests every weekend. Search In Demand in the iTunes store.